All right. Are we transmitting? It says not connecting. Oh, I think we got sound out there. Hey, everybody. Welcome to bloodandfaith.com, otherwise known as the Fritz Report on Podbean. And it is Thursday evening. It's Thursday evening, the 7th of April, 2022. We're going to talk about a couple different things. They're seemingly unrelated. But they're both important. Regime change in Washington, D.C. What we're witnessing right now in Washington, D.C., in my opinion, is the acknowledgement by the regime in power. And by that, I mean more than just Joe Biden and the Democrats. The regime is, it's like the Borg. It's bigger than you and I may have imagined. And you and I have been lulled into the idea that we have a say in our government, and we do not. Elections are held in order to keep the illusion that we have a say in our government. And we are placated by telling ourselves we have consented to this government because we participated in elections. And since I participated in the election, even though I may have lost, well, that's just the sign of being a good citizen. You did your part, you voted, you lost, and you carry on as a good soldier of the Republic, as a good constitutional citizen, because after all, that's how the majority of Americans voted, isn't it? And it turns out it's all a fraud. It's turned out that it's all a setup. And you don't have to be a right-wing nut like me, according to some of my colleagues, to think this. If you go back and look at the leftists, they've believed this since forever. And of course, now that the leftists are in power, they run from that thought. Oh, these are legitimate elections. This is the will of the people. This is exactly what they wanted. Now that the left has captured the instruments of government, every election for them is legitimate, unless the opposition wins. And we saw how they demonized the election of Donald Trump in the 2016 election. It was the Russians, they said. It was the Russians. The Russians did it. And lo and behold, it turns out that the Russians had nothing to do with it, and everybody acknowledges it. And so they lie, and they lie, and they lie, and they lie. 2020 election rolls around. They said, never again, we will not let this happen again. They steal the election. This isn't going to be a podcast on how they stole the election. It's all out there. And lo and behold, Biden is installed as the president of the United States, and Kamala Harris is installed as the vice president of the United States. Does anybody remember what happened in the 2020 Democrat National Convention that was held that summer? Do you guys recall what happened? No, of course you don't recall what happened. Nobody recalls what happened because it was private. It was secret. It wasn't in public. And they had the COVID as a cover story, even though Zoom was still a thing back in 2020. Apple FaceTime was a thing. Microsoft had their stuff. Cisco has their video conferencing software. But, oh no, we can't tell you what's going on. We don't want to, you know, we have to protect everybody from the COVID. So they have their national convention in secret. Republicans didn't have that problem. There was no question who the nominee was going to be. It was going to be Donald Trump. There wasn't a process they had to go through to figure out who the Republican nominee. That was already, he already had it in the bag. The Democrats certainly did not. And so they had a secret Democrat National Conference. Joe Biden, who, in my opinion, the only reason Joe Biden ran was to cover his own crimes. That's the only reason he ran for office. He was saying, oh, my God, I thought Hillary was going to be president for two terms. I'm home free. Trump gets in, and he's having a panic attack. And he's looking at these other guys running. He said, I got to get in there and run because, Jesus, if Trump gets back in, I'm toast. So he runs. They have the Democrat thing. By the way, the Democrats don't have a one-man, one-vote system. You would think that they do because they talk about that. They don't have a one-man, one-vote system. They have superdelegates. Republican Party does not have superdelegates. Superdelegates are the party leaders. They are like the lords and ladies of the Democrat Party. They are above question. They are part of the, not only the elite class, but they are royalty. A senator here, a union leader there, longtime political officers. And they get extra votes in order to balance out the will of the people, the one man, one vote system. So you don't even have the one man, one vote system in the Democrat Party itself. So you go into their secret convention, and you would think in a normal world, and this is not a normal world, that they would say to themselves, okay, we've got a white male, okay, he's from New Jersey, not a very big state, not a very big state, not a lot of electoral votes there. Who can we get to represent the party as the vice president that will bring in a lot of electoral votes? Probably don't need to worry about New York State because they're going to vote Democrat anyway. You certainly don't need to worry about the state of California because when have they not voted Democrat over the last, well, since Ronald Reagan? When have they swung to the Republican Party since the 1980s? I'd like to know. Certainly hasn't been since in this century. What they should have done, what they could have done, and what they didn't do is find a nice conservative Democrat, maybe Hispanic from Texas, even a Hispanic female from Texas. Check that little minority box there. Texas, man. How many electoral votes does Texas have? They got a lot. It's right up there with New York State, California. That's what you do in these conventions. You balance out the ticket. You bring people that can add value. Imagine a nice Hispanic woman from Texas bringing all those Texas voters. But no. No, they didn't do that. They got the least popular candidate that was out there, Kamala Harris, who brought nothing to the ticket. She didn't bring experience. And as you've seen her on TV, she didn't bring her eloquence or her wisdom or her stage presence. She didn't bring a single vote from California because they were all going to vote that way anyway. And they walk out and said, here we are. It's the Joe and Kamala show. I won't get into the Zuckerbucks. I won't get into the additional ballots showing up. I won't get into Dominion voting machines. But they're now in the White House. And gas prices have gone from $1.99 a gallon to $7 a gallon in California. Europe is at war. A year and a half of COVID, and he was going to solve the COVID problem, and he hasn't. Certainly hasn't done that. Country's more divided than ever. Got political prisoners languishing in prison in Washington, D.C. Political prisoners. While the real criminals run the country. The real criminals run the country. The Biden crime syndicate runs the country. Hunter Biden and his laptop. The FBI runs cover for the Biden family. They had that laptop before the 2020 election. They said, nothing to see here, folks. And it's all coming out. It's all coming out. They're backtracking. They're saying, yeah, it's legit. They're backtracking on a whole Russian hoax, saying, yeah, the Russian hoax was illegitimate. There was no Russian collusion to get Trump elected in 2016. They're liars one, they're liars all. And as Biden continues to make it clear that he has no idea what he is doing, and as the American people wake up and realize that we've gotten a shaft and we're angry about it, and as they have woken up and realized that there's going to be a landslide victory for the Republicans in the midterm elections here this November in 2022, and as the even the leftists and the Democrat Party operatives are abandoning Biden en masse, saying, oh my God, this ain't going to work. They're in a panic. They are in an utter panic right now. They've got 6 months to pull a rabbit out of the hat. And so they've got plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D. One of the plans is war with Russia. I mean, you just listen to the rhetoric. Listen to the rhetoric. Regime change in Russia. Defend Ukraine. Ain't my country. Ukraine ain't my country. Russia's not my country. Why am I involved in that? Oh, no, we have to for human rights' sake. Or whatever it is. God only knows what it is. It's coming out, though. A lot of corruption, a lot of lies. Biolabs in the Ukraine? Where did that come from? Am I supposed to repeat the spin from the government on that? Hunter Biden laptop, Burisma, 50 grand a month paycheck to Mr. Hunter Biden. No, that wouldn't be anything to do with any of this, would it? Wag the Dog, maybe? You remember that movie from 20 years ago? Hey, man, things are going really bad. Let's start a war. That always gets ratings up, whether it's TV ratings or political ratings. So they go for the war. Could that be part of it? You tell me. We report, you decide, right? Speaking of Fox News, what's that thing they just hired? They just hired a man named Bruce Jenner who calls his name something else now, Caitlin, something like that. That's all you need to know about Fox News. They're part of the regime. They're part of the regime. They're part of the system. You and I have no say in the system. So they're panicking. They're panicking over there in the White House. It's so bad. It's so bad that they decided to drop the facade and bring in Barack Obama. They bring Barack Obama into the White House for some sort of event. They say, well, it's for his Obamacare thing. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about Obamacare anymore. It's not even on the radar of the right or the left, Republicans or Democrats. Nobody cares. The 12th anniversary, like that's a big marker. Go to bloodandfaith.com. Click on the videos that I linked up there. You don't walk into the White House. Hey, Joe, how's it going? I'm just here for old time's sake. I was walking down to get a newspaper and thought I'd just pop in and say hello. No, that ain't it. This was scheduled. This was scripted. This was designed to send a message. And it was videotaped, and it's all over the world now. What would you think if you saw the video of Barack Obama walking into the White House and being worshipped by everybody that supposedly works for the President of the United States. If this were, the largest democracy in the world, India, and you saw a picture of whoever the leader of India is being utterly ignored, utterly ostracized, wandering around like a feeble old man, and he watched the previous leader of that country come in and had everybody bowing at his feet, what would that tell you? What would that signal to you about the political situation in India if that happened in India? The President of the United States realizes that nobody cares about him. And he's wandering around, looking around, looks behind him, and says, well, everybody's over there, and they're talking to Obama. He goes over there, tries to get in the little circle. The circle doesn't open up for the President of the United States. Does not open up for the President of the United States. The Vice President has her back to him. Nobody else is looking at him. Nobody's trying to be the handler and say, okay, we got to get him in here for the photo op. President of the United States puts his hand on Barack Obama's shoulder. Barack Obama pretends he doesn't even exist. Pretends he doesn't exist. Won't even turn around and say, hey, good to see you, Joe, and turn back. Pretends he doesn't exist. Everybody there pretends that Joe's not there. In another scene, Joe is standing there in front of the room, Barack Obama, and has his magnificent, charismatic presence, goes up to the microphones and begins to speak. And he speaks of the Vice President, Joe Biden, in the President's house, addresses him as the Vice President. He realizes what he's done. Of course, maybe what he said was, this was all stage. I know exactly what I'm saying. He even says it. That's even worse. He says, this was not a mistake. This was staged. Doesn't take it back. Never addresses him as the President of the United States. He just says, Vice President Joe Biden, long pause, and says, folks, this was all staged. Hey, Americans, wake up. They are so desperate that they're willing to be explicit with what they're doing. Biden never chose Kamala Harris to be the Vice President. Biden can't even decide what he's going to do at the end of a press conference. He stands there and says to my staff, what am I supposed to do now? That's what he says. Can't be hidden anymore. And they're looking at the 2022 midterm elections. They're looking at $5, $6, $7 a gallon gas. They're looking at war in Europe. They're looking at a man who can't stay in the closet anymore, and everybody knows he's mentally gone. They're looking at inflation and food shortages. The American people are waking up. We're not happy. We're kind of ticked. And so the Democrat regime has to make a power play. What are they going to do? How are they going to handle this? Well, step number one, apparently, well, it seems nobody's backing down from the war in the Ukraine. But step number one is you haul out super charismatic, super popular, at least with the Democrats, Barack Obama. You bring him into the White House. And you show the world who the real boss is. You show the world who the real boss is. And you show the world and you show the American people that it ain't Joe Biden. It's not Joe Biden. Nobody will give him the time of day, including his staff, the vice president, or anybody in the room that works for him. The former president of the United States calls him Vice President Biden and doesn't take it back. This is pretty explicit. This is about as explicit as you can get. And it's in your face and it's insulting to the president and nobody cares. It's all done on purpose. Now, if we lived in a quote-unquote fair system, the Republicans would sweep the midterm elections, both houses, easily both houses, and they would start indicting people, subpoenaing witnesses, and they would put Joe Biden and Kamala Harris up on they'd figure out something. They'd go after him. Impeachment for lying, impeachment for corruption, impeachment for graft with the Chinese and the Ukrainians. Oh, but what's that going to do? All that's going to do is drag out everybody's dirty laundry. FBI, other agency, Obama, Clinton. Dirt that they've spent years covering up. Years covering up. Careers covering up. Dead bodies. Dead bodies, potentially. A lot of people died out there. You know what I'm talking about. So they're desperate. Are they going to let the election happen? Are they going to suborn the Republicans that win? Oh, it's going to be a fun 6 months to watch. Here's step number one, bring out the old guy. Yeah, we'll see. So this is good news and it's bad news. It's good news in the sense that clearly they've panicked. Clearly they're afraid. And that is a reflection of the American people waking up. Americans are starting to wake up. They're not happy. They've been lied to and fooled. They've had their trust abused. So the fact that they're panicking is good news. But now the Democrat Party and the governing regime, the apparatus of government, they're desperate and they're panicking and they're going to get violent, more violent than they were, more vicious than they were, more lying than they were, because now it's an existential struggle. Not just that this regime lasts, but they maintain their power and influence and that they don't go to jail. They would never be treated the same way that Michael Flynn was treated or President Trump was treated. They would never accept any real or false charges against themselves. Why? That would be a debasement of democracy for them. But they could go to jail. They could lose everything. And there's too many people with their fingers in the pot to let that happen. And so now we're going to just see how creative they get. It's always been my hope and prayer and belief, and it is to this day, that it doesn't matter how strong the darkness is, the light is always stronger. And I say that as a theological statement, not as a belief in the blind goodness of the soul of mankind, because I don't. But rather, it's an example out of the Hebrew Scriptures. You go back and you look about the wars, especially in the book of Judges. And you go back and you read about these dire straits that the nation, the ancient nation of Israel was under, completely unrelated to the current nation called Israel. And they got in those situations for a reason, because they turned their backs on God, just like the United States has. And we went from being truly, truly a Christian nation, Christian colonies. You cannot say that the colonies of New England and the middle colonies and the southern colonies were not fundamentally Christian peoples, even of different denominations. We were a Christian people as colonists. And as pioneers going across the West. And the influences of the darkening, they call it the Enlightenment, but it was really the darkening, came in especially right around the time we were writing the Constitution of the United States of America. And language was changed just enough to allow people to interpret this as a maybe a deist country, certainly not an atheistic country. And it's been downhill ever since. We turned our back on God. It's taken 2 centuries to get here, 2.5 centuries. Utterly turned our back on Jesus Christ. And now we are in slavery. We wake up and say, oh my God, we're in slavery. Well, I guess the good news is that we've woken up and decided that we're in slavery. His people, Christians, have woken up, cried out to God, and said, God, we are in slavery. And the reason we're in slavery is we did it to ourselves over the generations. We've done this to ourselves over the generations. We've turned away from Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about religion. I don't want to hear about traditional values. If you're going to honor the Father, you must honor the Son. If you want to honor God, you must honor Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus Christ, you reject God the Father. This must once again be in the explicitly Christian nation, an explicitly Christian nation, not a traditional values nation, not a conservative nation, not a nation that believes in God. I can go down to the First Church of the Homosexuals down here on 4 corners of the block I'm on. And are homosexuals one and all. And they believe in God. And they'll tell you all kinds of perverted, twisted stories about characters in the Bible. We need to return to Jesus Christ as monarch. Jesus Christ as our monarch. Jesus Christ as the sovereign king and monarch of the United States of America and of Canada and of Great Britain, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia, Sweden, Norway, Iceland, Finland, and on and on and on. Explicitly Christian nations worshiping Jesus Christ as our monarch. That's the future. That's the future. We've reached peak atheism. We've reached peak secularism. We've reached peak abomination. When openly we groom children for their sexual destruction, we've reached peak abomination. Sodom and Gomorrah was at that stage. They had groomed their children into depravity. How do I know that? Go see what happened to Lot's daughters. What did Lot's daughters do? What kind of family values did they learn in Sodom and Gomorrah? That's the first thing they do after they get kicked out of their city. I shouldn't tell you. I should make you go read it. Where did they learn how to do that? Where did they learn that they ought to go have carnal relations with their biological father? Where did they learn that? They were groomed in Sodom and Gomorrah their whole lives. And it seemed like the thing to do. They didn't learn that from Lot. They learned that from their society. They took advantage of Lot. That wasn't Lot's idea. The Bible says Lot's righteous soul was tormented as he lived there, and he should have left. But he made his choice and he didn't. So when a country, specifically the United States, has reached the point where it's grooming its children for destruction. And they take the symbol of God's covenant with mankind and all the animals, the rainbow, and they lift it up as a giant middle finger. As a giant middle finger to God's face and use that symbol as a symbol of depravity in defiance of God's perfect and good order, and then turn and recruit these children into abomination. We're at the end. We're at the end. Now, the good news is people are waking up. That's reflected in the fact that the Democrat Party and the Republicans that are part of the same cabal, there are no righteous Republicans out there. There's a few, but there's just a few. They're in utter panic, utter meltdown. Remember, the Republicans did not want Trump to win in 2016 either. Remember that? Anybody but Trump. Bush family wouldn't help out. None of them would. Utterly rejected. American people said, we don't work for you. You work for us. So many, 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 many millions have woken up. Oh, and so now it's going to get spicy. It's going to get dangerous. Go read the first half of the book of Judges. Got spicy out there. It got very interesting. But here's the good news. Gideon is my favorite example. Gideon had to do a lot. I was going to say he didn't have to do anything. But Gideon didn't wake up one morning and pull out his pitchfork and go to town. First thing he did is he addressed the evil in his father's household, burnt down the idols, challenged the religious pluralism of his own community. Gideon challenged the religious pluralism of his own community. Oh yeah, they worshiped Yahweh. They worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshiped the God of Moses. And they worshiped Moloch and Baal and Ashtoreth right along with them. Even in Gideon's own father's household. It's a pluralistic, diverse, and tolerant community. God said, you go deal with that right now. You go deal with that. Gideon was terrified. He said, God, they're going to kill me. He said, hey, you want me to do something? Go deal with that. Go deal with it right now. Get rid of this false idol. Get rid of these false gods. And so he went in, got his oxen, tore down these idols, chopped them up into kindling, offered up a offering of the oxen on the wood that they mailed the Baal and the Ashtoreth out of, utterly destroyed them. Did it at night because he was scared. He was scared. They woke up in the morning, they're going to kill him. Miracle of miracle happens. His father stood up and said, you know what? My son was right. He said, don't touch my son. Apparently he was a man of some influence. I hope that's what you and I are doing right now. I'm flat out challenging this country, the United States. Forget this multicultural sewer, cesspool. You got a little Baal down here. You got a little Ashtoreth over there. You got Muhammad down there. Islam up there. No, this will be a Christian nation. Or it will not be a nation. It will be destroyed. This country will be destroyed if we're not going to be a Christian nation. The United States will be destroyed if we will not be a Christian nation, as surely as the nation in Gideon's time would have been. And he had to address it. We have to address this cancer. Oh, they're all the same. No, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the cry of our loyalty. That's our oath. Jesus Christ is Lord. We will have a Christian nation where Jesus Christ is the sovereign. He's the monarch. Period. End of story. Full stop. The people most guilty of the sin are not the people of other religions. It's the church. who has allowed this in and said, we're a diverse and pluralistic country, welcoming all people and faiths, all lifestyles. This is on the ledger of the church that wanted to get along and go along, just as ancient Israel did. We don't want to offend the Antichrist. We don't want to offend our brothers because we're all Americans. It is the church that has done that. And it's the church that needs to repent of that. So I repent. That's what I've had to deal with my own life. I had to start with my own life. Am I so concerned about not offending the Antichrist out there that I'm not willing to speak up? The answer was yes. That's bottom line. That was the truth. It's bottom line. That was the truth. I had to deal with that in my own soul. And oh my God, I had the excuses. Believe me, I had all the excuses. I got excuses. We all got those. Got a little tap on the shoulder from the man. Man says, where are we at? Where are we at? I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you start addressing those things right at home. Right at home. Oh, it's so liberating to open up your mouth and speak and say the things that are in your heart, even though other people hate it. It is so liberating. You have no idea what kind of bondage you are in until you open up your mouth and begin to speak. You have no idea. You open up your mouth and you begin to speak, and it's like, oh my God, is this what freedom feels like? Is this what freedom feels like? The people that hold us in bondage are ourselves. The church holds the church in bondage. Christians hold themselves in bondage because they're more afraid of offending the seed of the serpent than Jesus Christ. God will forgive me, but the devil won't. I got to feed my family. Doesn't make any difference. That was my big one. Doesn't make any difference. Younger man, I quite active in church affairs. I'm sure Gideon thought the same thing. Doesn't make any difference. He's down there in the pit where they make wine. He's treading wheat out in there because he's trying to hide. He's trying to be the great man. I get it, man. Try to be the great man. Keep your head down. Try to survive. So he deals with the things that he has to deal with in his own heart. He had to start with his own heart before he could deal with what's out there in the community. He had to start with himself. That was not easy. How do I know that? Well, I'm a man too, just like anybody else is. Got to make decisions. And then he raises the banner in his own community. Say, hey, this isn't a multicultural, multi-religious, multi-faith melting pot. No. We're going to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or we will not be a nation. We will not be a nation. And the Amorites will continue to destroy us, utterly destroy us. So he raised that banner. He sent that message out loud and clear. He survived. He didn't expect to survive, but he did. And then he says, all right, now we're going to go to the next step. And you know what the beautiful part about the next step is? This is why I have faith. So he got a bunch of people together. They're going to go to war. He had 10,000 people. God said, no, that's way too many. So they cut it down to, a couple thousand? And he cut it down to 300. So here's Gideon. He's going to go to war with 300 men against tens of thousands of trained military guys. His guys were not a professional army. They'd been disarmed by the enemy. They'd been disarmed. They weren't allowed to train. They weren't allowed to muster. They weren't allowed to build chariots and spears and all kinds of stuff. They had whatever they had, whatever they hid it under that bale of hay, whatever they had, they had. And so he's out there. The enemy had come in, and they're going to do their raids. And the angel of the Lord says, you go down there. Go listen to what they have to say. He goes down there. He sneaks into the enemy camp, and they're in full mode panic. They're in full panic. Utter panic. They're terrified. Oh, my God. Have you heard of Gideon? Gideon. And they're in utter panic. Gideon goes, well, this is, I don't know how this happened. So you know the story. I think you can start in Judges chapter 7. I don't have it in front of me. They go to the top of the mountain. They light some torches and start blowing some horns. And the enemy turned upon each other and started slaughtering themselves. This is why I have faith. Gideon didn't have the power in himself to make this happen. None of it. Not from A, not to Z. But he did the little that he could do with what he had at the time that he had. And then when he did that, he went to the next step and the next step. And next thing you know, the enemy is slaughtering themselves. What a beautiful story. And we see that over and over and over again in the Bible. When Moses led the Hebrews out of Egypt, Pharaoh's army woke up and said, this is a bad decision. We're going to go kill them, slaughter them, and bring them back into slavery. These Hebrews had absolutely no physical way to resist that. None whatsoever. None. God says, hold my beer, watch this. He said, go through the Red Sea. He makes a passage, they go through the Red Sea. God leaves it open. Egyptians said, well, if they can, we can. They go down there in the Red Sea, going to go get the Hebrews. God said, okay, boom. Closes the Red Sea over the entire army of the Egyptians. Moses didn't lift a sword. His people didn't lift a sword. Not at that instant. God is well able. He's well able to make this happen. Well able. You've heard me talk on the podcast earlier this week about the prophetess Deborah and how the angels of God fought against Sisera's army once the men of Israel were willing to stand up. Once they were willing to stand up and literally put their lives on the line, angels of God said, okay, now we're released to get involved. These people are serious now. They bet their lives on this. Not a bet that they would succeed, but that it was worth it to stand up. It was worth it to stand up regardless of the consequences. That's when the angels of God got involved. Go read it. Judges chapter 5. They had no great faith that they were going to defeat 900 iron chariots. It wasn't going to happen. But they did it anyway. And the angels of God fought against Sisera's army. We're waking up. I'm telling you, we're waking up. I've had people ask me, well, what's the plan, Fritz? And those people were not on my side, as if I led some great army. How big's your organization, Fritz? I said, I'm an army of one. My wife doesn't even agree with everything I say. And, you know, it's 6 months from now or 6 years from now, my ideas will change. That's what a thinking man does. You mature your thoughts and opinions on things. Well, they didn't know what to say. We're waking up. The enemy is utterly terrified. They're in a panic mode, and they're going to turn around and start slaughtering themselves, and we're seeing it now, and Biden's the first to go. Hasn't happened yet. Buy your popcorn, baby. Buy your popcorn. This will be an interesting 6 months. Well, that was a long introduction, and we haven't even got to Easter season yet, have we? We're coming up on Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There will come a day. There will come a day in the United States of America when public schools, to the extent they still exist, will have Easter break once again. When I was a youngin, we didn't have spring break and we didn't have winter break. We had Christmas break and we had Easter break, and that's been driven out of our schools. I am telling you, the day will come again when we will have Easter break in the schools again and Christian Christmas breaks in the schools again. And we will once again put the Ten Commandments up on the walls of any public schools as they continue to exist. We will be a Christian nation again. We will be. And we will tear down the idols to Ashtoreth and Baal. We'll tear them down, just like Gideon did. And we will repent of that nonsense. If they want to go worship Baal and Ashtoreth in some other land, not my problem. I'm not here to change the world. I'm here to change what God has given me responsibility to change. And right now, that's right where I'm living. My message is for all the nations. My message is for Australia and New Zealand and Canada and Sweden and Great Britain, England, Wales, Scotland. Return. Return to Jesus Christ. Return to Jesus Christ. Be a race of men and a nation of men that will serve Jesus Christ openly and unapologetically. That's going to start with individual Christian men saying, I'm serving Jesus Christ no matter what. And I'm not asking you to be a good moral person. Part of the problem in the church is we've turned us into a morality cult. You're not a good Christian if, and then here's all the list of your sins. Just like the Pharisees of old. You're not a good whatever unless you wash your hands just right. Hey, they got the wrong guy if you want a morality club. I'm not qualified. Never have been, never will be. Wish I was. Wish I could say I was. Wish I could say I was as righteous as Paul. Paul says he was perfect according to the law. Wish I could say that about me. I'm not. Never have been. I got a motto, repent every day. Do the best you can do. But don't stop just because you're not perfect. Don't stop because you're not perfect. Don't. Look at Samson. Samson wasn't qualified to be a door greeter at a church, yet he was God's man. Look at David. Look at Moses. Even Peter said, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Look, I'm just trying to be real here. Oh, I got these dang phones. Sorry about that, folks. I hate these phones. This is live, so I can't really get that out. Oh, I got some comments here. Let's see what we got here. He's talking about Obama stated 57 states. U.S. public believed he made an obvious mistake. Wrong. He's referring to the 57 Islamic states. There you go. We currently live in a Marxist, fascist nation governed by a military police state. Yeah. Here's Chris Wilson. Yeah. Well, there you go. And if you go back to a podcast or two, read some of what I wrote at bloodandfaith.com. You will see how I've been very clear. There's distinctions without a difference between communism, socialism, national socialism, and our secular, capitalistic, liberal order. It's all bound up into one. The union between big business and government is tight. The union between the press and government is tighter. The union between religion and the government is even tighter. The universities are the religions, the religious centers of our secular cult that we live in. We live in a giant cult. We live in a Borg. The beast rules. The beast of Daniel chapter 7 rules now with the false prophets, which are the university professors, are the false prophets, causing everybody to believe in their science, to believe in their witchcraft, to believe in their lies and their manipulations. The union between big business and government in the United States is not any different than it was under Adolf Hitler, under the current Chinese Communist Party, under Lenin. And Christianity is either corrupted, as it was in all those places, or it's wiped out. So we got to start right here in reforming ourselves. We will have a Christian nation once again. Things will change. I don't know how we get there. Oh, but we're going to get there. I have a perspective to provide for you. Perspective is this. Jesus Christ is the monarch. He's the God Emperor of Earth. He's the God Emperor of Earth now. He was 2,000 years ago. He is today. And he will be when he returns again. Do you really think he's going to have a lot of tolerance for people worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth? Do you think it's the priority of the monarch Jesus Christ to have people reject him and worship other gods? I don't think so. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings now. He's the King of every nation now. He's the God Emperor of mankind. And he was very explicit. The nation that will not serve Jesus Christ will be utterly blotted out. Before the flood, before the great flood, God told Noah, I will utterly blot out everything that draws breath upon the land because they've been corrupt in my eyes, except for you and the animals and the people on the ark. I will blot them out. Jesus Christ will return. And in the meantime, he has not rescinded the Great Commission. He has not told us we can no longer preach the gospel and impose our religious values on others. He said, you go and you disciple the nations. You bring discipline to the nations. Convert the nations. The oral tradition that the evangelical church has erected in that place is, let's go get onesie twosies out there. Let's get a little guy from Haiti. Let's get a Korean. Maybe a couple Japanese. Oh, we got a Chinese. Let's just get a few individuals out there. Well, why do they believe that? I mean, if you're going down that road, why do you even believe in a family anymore? Why do you believe in a mom and a dad and a bunch of kids if you believe that? If that's the length that you're going to go to divorce yourself from the requirement of a social compact of Christian nations, why don't you divorce yourself from the Christian compact of a man and a woman and their children? Why not go there? Why stop with the nation? Go right for the family. You've elevated your traditions of men above the Word of God. Why stop at denying Christian nations? Why not deny a Christian family? Oh, it doesn't matter. Just one soul. Leave the 99 for the one. And so they've erected these oral traditions, the leaven of the Pharisees. And you've walked away from the fullness of the glory of a social compact, of the expression of nations that serve Jesus Christ and worship Jesus Christ through their culture, their language, their place, their history, their common identity as servants of Jesus Christ, as loyal servants of Jesus Christ. oh, we can't do that. No, that would offend the Antichrist. We want a diverse and multicultural and inclusive society, say some of these evangelicals. Burn it down, baby. Burn it down. Come on, Gideon. Go to your father's house. Get those idols of Baal and Asherah. Burn them down. No, we're not. No, we're going to have Christian nations, entire nations. Resurrection of Christendom. We're going to have a resurrection of Christendom in Europe and all the places where the sons and daughters of Christendom have migrated to. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, North America. Oh, I'm not leaving out Latin America. I'm not leaving out Spain and Southern Europe. Not leaving them out at all. Who do you think converted Latin America to Jesus Christ? It was the Spaniards. I got it. I got issues with the whole, you know, Pope thing too. But let's be clear. The Spaniards took 7 centuries to drive the Muslim out of Europe. 7 centuries, and they never gave up. They never quit. God rewarded them and said, okay, now go conquer the Western Hemisphere. And they did from Tierra del Fuego through what is now the central portions of the United States, Texas, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Florida was a Spanish colony until 1819. We bought it from them. Converted them to faith in Jesus Christ. The Aztecs were demon-worshipping, human-sacrificing, an evil nation, an evil race, an evil people. What was it? 80 Spaniards walked in? 80 Spaniards walked in, and what happened? Their entire empire collapsed. There was an orgy of burning and murder and bloodletting for a week in the capital city of the Aztecs when the Spaniards marched in. Spaniards couldn't have done that. There was a, I don't know, million people there? There was a lot of people there. Don't got the number on top of my head. But there was a lie. It wasn't a little village. Go look at the pyramids. Go read the stories. God had it all set up. He does today too. I got good news for you. We're at peak secularism. We're at peak feminism. We are at peak homosexuality. Oh, it ain't going to be no fun going down the other side. We're going to pay a price. They're going to pay a price. It'll be a big, fat, bloody mess. It was for the Aztecs at the end of their empire when the Spaniards came marching in. It was a mess when Gideon did what he was called to do. It was a mess under Samson. It was a mess under prophetess Deborah. What are you afraid of? What do you got to lose? Afraid you might die? I ain't asking you to do nothing crazy. What I'm asking you to do is open up your mouth and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Get it into your heart that we're going to build Christian nations. And we're going to see a revival of Christendom around the world. Get that into your heart and let it come out of your mouth and convert the Christians around you that lack faith. Christian nations, baby, Christian nations, where Jesus Christ is explicitly the king and the monarch. Is that not our jobs? Is that not our jobs in this generation to prepare the way of the Lord? All you Christians out there that believe that Jesus Christ is coming every day, how much more must you be out there preaching for Christian nations? What did John the Baptist do? Did he go hide in a cage? Oh, Jesus is coming anytime soon. Jesus will be here soon, and I'm going to fly away. Is that what John the Baptist did? Did he go, oh, you know, Jesus is coming. Shh, don't tell anybody. Jesus is coming soon. He's going to be Lord. Did he go hide? Was he afraid of offending the Jews? Oh, we can't say this too loud. They're going to get offended. Herod's going to be offended. He might kill me. Is that what John the Baptist did? Is that what John the Baptist did? Was he scared to offend the Pharisees, the chief priests, Herod, the leaders of his day, the multicultural and diverse environment that he lived in? I don't think so. He preached a baptism of repentance. He preached repentance. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming. The monarch is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Christ is coming. He says, I'm not fit to untie his sandal. I come baptizing with water. He's going to come baptizing you with fire. He didn't come and preach in an inclusive, gentle, inoffensive message. Let's be clear about that. They executed Herod. Herod finally had him executed. He was stirring up trouble. He was disturbing the social order. He didn't work by, with, and through the established authorities. John the Baptist did not work by, with, and through the established authority. He didn't work through Herod's government. He didn't work through the Sanhedrin. He didn't work through the Pharisees. He didn't work through the Sadducees. He went out there and he did what he had to do, and he gave the message that he had. He gave the message that he had. That's our job. That's our job. Christian nations. Christian nations. Oh, they might get offended. Well, let them get offended, for crying out loud. How much has your little respect for them done so far? How's that worked out for you? You've been so tolerant and so inclusive and so diverse and so inoffensive that your children don't even care. The next generation is lost. Because if you don't care enough, they don't care enough. They can see that. You can lie to yourself all you want. Believe me, when I say what I say, I preach to myself. I'm preaching to myself. What's the bottom line there, Dad? What's the bottom line? Is it getting, you know, what you can get while you can get it? Do you really believe in this Jesus stuff, or is that just, you know, just something you do? Hey, we got a monarch. We're going to build Christian nations. We're going to build Christian nations. If you call yourself an evangelical Christian or some brand of Christianity, you're all familiar with. If you read the Bible, let's put it that way. See if I can pull up Ezekiel chapter, 37. Oh, how about that? Ezekiel chapter 7, the vision of the valley of dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. These are dead people. The valley is full of bones. And when I see this, I see the sons and daughters of Christendom. A race that was once alive, vibrant in Jesus Christ. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry, very dry. Is this not the status of the descendants of Christendom? Whether they're, regardless of where they live on the globe, regardless of what they may look like? And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? These were peoples that were once alive. I'm not seeing individuals here. I'm seeing races of men. I'm seeing nations of the men that were once alive in Jesus Christ. I spent 2 years in La República Dominicana, the Dominican Republic, named after the evangelists of the church, the Dominicans. They have a cross of Jesus Christ on their flag. I lived for 2 years in El Salvador. The name of their capital is San Salvador. It's the Savior. The country is, literally the country is named after Jesus Christ, El Salvador. And I look at the flags of my ancestors with the cross of Jesus Christ on the flag. And I say, can these bones live? Can these bones live? So Ezekiel's down there, and the Lord says to him, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, oh Lord, God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, and I will make flesh grow back on you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and that you may know that I am the Lord. These are the bones of people's long past, very dry bones. God says, can these bones live? Ezekiel's like, I don't know. And I know, I will tell you flat out, as we contemplate a resurrection of Christendom, it's the same thing. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Is that even possible for a resurrection of Christendom? Is that even possible? Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. Can El Salvador once again say, Jesus Christ is our monarch? And to heck with the secularists that want to drag them down into Baal worship and Astaroth, homosexuality and abortion. Ain't nothing new, honey. Ain't nothing new. Ain't no new religions on the earth. Homosexuality and abortion are nothing more than pagan worship rites, including human sacrifice. The sacrifice of the blood of innocent children. Ain't nothing new there. Between the Aztecs and Baal of old, ain't nothing new there. It's the same worship of Beelzebul, the demon. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? Thou know, O Lord. Have faith that those bones can live. Have faith in the resurrection of those dry bones, the dry bones of Christendom, the dry bones of the nations in Jesus Christ. And those that don't want to serve Jesus Christ, may they go their own way. The Almighty will deal with them as He will deal with them, as He dealt with the nations before the great flood. As He dealt with the people before the great flood. What's the destination of peoples that will not serve Jesus Christ? Bring these men here into my, and slay them in my presence, said Jesus Christ. These men that did not want to serve me, bring them into my presence and slay them. Go read Psalm 139. I've got all this up, bloodandfaith.com. I've got all this stuff up there. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were upon them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come forth, four winds. Come forth, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into him, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Prophesy to your nation that you will once again be a Christian nation, Australia, with the cross of Jesus Christ on your banner, New Zealand, Canada. Canada, the U.S., we got some redesigns to do on our flags. I want the cross of Jesus Christ on our flags. Northern Europe, prophesy to your own people, your own race, your own country. And if you're an African prince over there, get a vision. Build Christian nations in Africa. Oh, for the Sidelanders. I pray for the Sidelanders. A Christian race whose ancestors four centuries ago. Settled and colonized a southern portion of Africa. Built a Christian nations there. A lot of bloodshed between the English and the Dutch, Boers, Germans. A lot of bloodshed. Not discounting that. But they're a Christian people. Oh, it's coming back, baby. It's coming back. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how dry that valley of bones looks. I don't care how dry it looks. For the nations of my ancestors, I don't care how dry Sweden looks in Norway, Scandinavia, the British Isles, Spain. I don't care how dry it looks. I don't care. I don't care how very dry those bones are. Prophesy to the breath and the skins going to come alive. We're coming alive. We're going to have a resurrection of Christendom in the world. You want to know why the devil's freaked out? Because he knows it's coming. You want to know why the devil hates Europeans? Because he knows this is coming. That's why Satan hates the European race. That's why Satan hates the European race. There's one place on the planet that exploded in faith in Jesus Christ, that exploded and built Christian civilization. It was in Europe. From Greece north, from Turkey. What's now Turkey? It used to be a Christian land. Turkey used to be a Christian land. You know, when Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians, they were from Gaul. They were Celts that lived in central Anatolia, in the area that we now call Turkey, that is utterly Muslim. Those were Christian lands not long ago. Okay, a long time ago. But they were Christian lands. I'm calling them back. Ezekiel 37 is for a resurrection of Christendom and all the blessed sons and daughters of Christendom around the world, including the entire Western Hemisphere, the southern region, wherever. And if you're not from there, get a vision for your own race. Get a vision for your own people that they would repent of their idol worship. Chinese, I don't know what's with you with this dragon worship. Don't you know who the serpent is? Don't you know who the serpent is? The serpent is Satan. It's the devil. You need to burn your little idols of the dragon and say, we're going to be a Christian race, a Christian nation, a Christian people. It's going to cost you. Oh, it will cost you. But what do you got to lose? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? What do you got to lose? Jesus Christ was clear. Do not fear those who can kill the body. Fear him who not only can kill the body, but can cast your soul into hell. Who was he talking about? He was talking about himself. Who was Jesus Christ talking about? He was talking about himself. Jesus Christ is the judge. He can not only kill your body, but he can cast your soul into hell. And he will. On the judgment day, unless you have already put your faith in Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you will, a Christian nation. A Christian nation who, over the generations, worship Jesus Christ publicly, privately. We understand that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. We utterly reject the lies of evolution. Utterly reject them. They're scientifically invalid. Entropy does not work in reverse. Things don't self-design and become more complex. It's all a big fat lie. It's a lie from the evil one. And you raise generations of young men and young women who realize that boys go with girls and girls go with boys, and they grow up and they get married and they come together and they reproduce. You don't got this weird grooming going on in schools because they're raised that way. They understand that there's a judgment day. They understand there's a resurrection from the dead. It's just in them from the time they are born. And when it is time for them to really come face to face with their Maker, somebody presents the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, the whole thing comes together. The whole thing comes together. It's like, oh my God, that's what they've been talking about my whole life? That's who Jesus Christ is? That's why he died on the cross? That's the story of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his own son? That's the story of death entering in when the fall happened? That's the story of the judgment day? That's the story of the Passover and Moses and the blood of the lamb on the lintels that caused the angel of death to bypass that house, to pass over that house? And it all comes together. It all falls together. And like, oh my God. And they can put their faith in Jesus Christ and be converted personally and individually converted and born again into the race of God. Into the race of God. Into the race of God. Of Jesus Christ. Who is God in the flesh. The incarnation of God is Jesus Christ. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Church, can the bones of our ancestors, can the bones of the descendants of our ancestors live? Can we resurrect Christendom? Can your nation once again be a Christian nation as it once was? Oh yes, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Prophesy. Prophesy over your nation, over your race, over your people. Prophesy it. Prophesy it. God told him, you prophesy. You prophesy, Ezekiel. I ain't going to do it all. You prophesy. You speak in faith over these dry bones. No, this is for the sons and daughters of Christendom. Those who once were alive in Jesus Christ, whose descendants no more are. We have to prepare the way of the Lord. Just like John the Baptist did. John the Baptist didn't hide. He didn't apologize. He didn't say, well, I don't want to be offensive and Jesus is coming real soon and so let me just kind of hang in and hang on. No, he went out there and he did his work. He did the work. Got a few people riled up. So what? Big deal. So it's going to cost him his life. Our job now in this generation is to build Christian nations, entire nations to serve Jesus Christ. A resurrection of Christendom. Be like your Spanish ancestors if you're Hispanic in any way, shape, or form. Be like your Spanish ancestors. Even though it took 7 centuries, they drove the Antichrist out of Spain. How dare we do any less? How dare we believe any less? Go read Ezekiel 37. God says, Ezekiel, you tell me, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, well, I don't know. God says, you prophesy over them. Prophesy them. You do it. You prophesy over them. Don't you do it. Same with you and I. Prophesy over these bones. We're going to build Christian nations. This is Fritz Berggren. bloodandfaith.com. My time's coming to an end this evening. This is where we're going with this stuff. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how many iron chariots the enemy has. You watch. You watch the enemy destroy itself. Have faith. Be ready. Don't just be ready. Open up your mouth now. Prophesy over those bones. Spread the vision to build Christian nations. We've seen what the third way does. We've seen what the path of neutrality does. Same thing as it did to the Hebrew nation, the nation of Israel. in Gideon's time. They got a little Baal here, a little Ashtoreth there, little God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over there. It disgusted the Almighty, disgusted him. And he sold them into bondage and slavery. Sold them to slavery. He said, I didn't tell you to do this. I didn't tell you to go out there and be a diverse and multicultural society and religiously neutral. But oh boy, we got our little leaven of the Pharisees going on. I ain't going away, folks. I'm just starting. I'm just gearing up. I'm done for the evening, but I'm just gearing up in my life, even at my later years. We're going to see a resurrection. A resurrection of Christianity, a resurrection of Christendom, a resurrection of Christian nations that were once were Christian nations. I don't care how many Amorites, Girgashites, Hittites, whateverites are. I don't care how strong they are. We do our job. Angels of God will fight. They will destroy themselves. But let us not make this mistake ever again. Let us never make this mistake again that we're somehow we're supposed to tolerate and accommodate the enemies of our King, our Savior, our Monarch, our Emperor, our God Emperor, Jesus Christ. Come and find me. I'm at bloodandfaith.com. We'll be doing more and more of these live ones, but I do several podcasts a week. Here's another note from Chris. Read, I'm going to write this down. Ralph Ellis. I'll look him up. Haven't heard of the guy. Ralph Ellis, historian on Christ. Oh yeah, there you go. Zionism. There you go. Well, you've Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeah. Yeah, the Khazarians. Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. All right, Chris, thank you so much for your kind words there. And I'm going to sign off for now, folks, but see me at bloodandfaith.com. Sign up for the podcast here at fritzreport.podbean.com. I'm also on Gab @cybertext. Have a great evening.